SOP 287, today we answer a lot of questions, including, hey, how do you find ideas for your podcast?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you just from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing to, that too, and this and that and all of the above, because everything you need to start a podcast is right there at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you would like to contact me, that's one of the questions we're going to be answering today. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments. Now, this is toll-free. It's 888-563-3228. That is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. Or you can leave a comment out at our website at schoolofpodcasting.com. I will get to your answers right after this.
Hi, this is Fred Castaneda, the podcaster for The Struggling Entrepreneur. That's www.strugglingentrepreneur.com. And 12 other podcasts that I started within the past 6 years. Dave Jackson has been my only podcast consultant and coach that helped me start these podcasts, get them going. He helped me physically to get 4 to 5 of these podcasts up and running. Not only did he help me with the setting up of my WordPress blog, also getting the graphics, also dealing with the hosting companies, getting them uploaded and getting the content squared away and putting them on iTunes and all that, but he also did technical support for me, solved problems when we had them, and more than anything else, gave me valuable recommendations, suggestions, and comments for improving the podcast. I've had 12 podcast show series, and Dave has been involved personally in 6 of them, setting up 4 of them for me. They've all been successful, and they've all been well received. I think Dave's biggest strength is his customer service. You expect that from him? He also gives that personal touch because he knows so much, whether it's in remote conference calls or whether it's in delivery of content or the delivery of the podcast infrastructure. Dave has done it all. He has even helped me with technical support on infrastructure such as premiumcast.com back in the early days in 2008 and 2009. So anyway, thanks a lot, Dave. I think you're going to find a lot of people are going to be grateful to you for helping them get started. Do I recommend Dave Jackson as a podcast coach and consultant? Absolutely. I don't think you're going to find a better customer service-oriented individual than Dave Jackson.
Thank you so much, Fred. Great, phenomenal. Number one, great American patriot, served his country in Vietnam, and just a great overall guy and huge passion for podcasting. So let's, the question today, I went to my, I have an email list. If you go out to the school of podcasting.com, if you scroll down a bit, you'll see a link that says free podcasting tips where you get notified every time I put out an episode and things of that nature. But on occasion, I will actually do the opposite. I will go to that list and say, hey, does anybody know the answer to this? And so it was probably Wednesday or Thursday, and I thought, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about this week on the show. So I sent out an email, and it basically answers this question. I got this from, Aisha Wells. The question I asked was, what would you like to hear about on this week's show? So she said, where to find inspiration and resources for podcast topics. In order to keep podcasting for a long period of time, I also would like to know about ways to have users pay to subscribe to podcasts. Well, I sent her over to morepodcastmoney.com, which is a podcast I do that is strictly about how to monetize your podcast. She says, you may have covered these topics. It's been a while since I've listened, but I'm glad that she is back. So here's the thing. In this case, I asked my audience because I was like, well, I could talk about how the BBC just went over 1 billion downloads. That's really cool. And it's great to show that podcasting again is growing and it's exciting and it shows that it's global. But does it really do anything for you? And I thought, so I just asked my audience, what do you want to hear? And that's one advantage of having an email list is that you can actually contact people without sending them out over a podcast. So how do you keep up on stuff? The biggest one, I use Google Reader. If you go to reader.google.com and I go to people's blogs, and if I find a blog that has the topic about this podcast, I take their RSS and I throw it into my Google Reader. And every morning I wake up and instead of reading the newspaper, I fire up Google Reader. And then all of these websites that I would normally have to go visit manually now go to me, and I can see the items. And if I like the item, I then add a tag, and that tag is the name of whatever podcast I'm going to talk about it in. Then when it comes time to do the podcast, I simply go over, click on the tags, and there are those blog posts. I go over and in some cases reread them and decide, is this really good enough for the show or not? And that is that. So that's one way. Another way is Google Alerts. You can put in a phrase maybe, or whatever your topic is. Sometimes it helps to put it in quotation marks and have that sent to you via email. I also believe, if I remember right, I've mentioned this before, when you do a Google alert, you have the ability to, again, receive that information, those alerts, via an RSS feed, which again would go into Google Reader. I would read magazines. I like a website magazine. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/website mag, we'll make that. That will take you over there. It's a free program. It's a free magazine that has all sorts of things about search engine optimization. It has things about affiliate marketing. It has tools, WordPress, all sorts of stuff. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/website mag, because that's an affiliate link, and it's free, and you can actually have it delivered right to your house for free, or you can actually choose to have it downloaded. You can get it as a digital file as well. So whatever your topics are, get those magazines, get those websites, listen to other podcasts on your topic. And you're like, what, do you steal information? No, but sometimes it will give you an idea of, oh, you know, I never thought of that. And, you know, might steer you in a way, I've never thought of interviewing somebody like that, and then find a different resource, things like that. The key is, and this is why we talk about passion. You should have passion for your topics. I don't mind reading 17 blogs about blogging, about WordPress, about podcasting, about new media, about radio, because I love podcasting. It's not a job for me to go, oh, I have to go read my blogs. I wake up and I'm like, hey, what's new? Right? And in theory, if you like this subject, that's why you started your podcast, your audience should probably like what you like. And so you're just doing what you're doing. Yes, you're doing show prep by reading about things you love, but that's basically how you do it. And just realize that, Aisha, it is a never ending quest. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I'm always looking for, can I use this in a podcast? Kind of drives my wife nuts at times, but I'm always looking at, ooh, this could be used in the podcast. So show prep, show topics, things like that, always, always need it. Because the great thing is, when I hit stop on this recording and I put it out, guess what? I've got 7 more days in my case until I need more topics. And so it's a never-ending process. And that is not a complaint. It's exciting. That's why I love it. And that's why all my podcasts that I have that same passion for. So thank you very much for responding to my email. Now, if you're new to the program, you just noticed that about a minute into, from the end of that little question, some music faded in. That is something that I do. I'm sure other people do it as well. And that is simply, I use music as a transition. Why? Because I may be talking about, do I want to have one podcast with multiple topics, or do I want to have multiple podcasts with many topics? That's what I'm going to be talking about here in a second. If you're not interested in that, just fast forward until they hear the music come in, and you'll know that's when I'm going to start a new question. Something I do on this podcast, I should mention this more. You'll notice that if you listen to pretty much all of them, I have music. So when you fast forward and you hear music, you know I'm almost done. So this comes in from Dan Chatham. This is, Dave, I'm a longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm starting a podcast with news reported for a specific audience perspective, in this case, future MBAs. It will cover news, events, careers, news, and career news, and one or two other topics. I'm confused about whether I should create a separate feed for each topic and theme, or have a single feed with each different topic, but with higher volume. So what he's talking about, do I have four podcasts, one that talks about, you know, let's just use food because I'm not an MBA. Let's say there was, you know, protein, carbs, fat, and, you know, fruit and vegetables. Fruit, vegetables, protein, and dessert, right? So I could have four different podcasts, one that's just all about desserts, one that's all about protein, one that's about vegetables, and one that's about fruit. Well, that is number one. Four times as many RSS feeds, four times as iTunes listings. Not a huge deal. Just means it's going to take longer to set it up. You're going to need four pieces of album art, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is, what if there's nothing about vegetables this week? We just talked about different ways you can use Google Alerts. You can use RSS feeds from other blogs. But what if there's just nothing going on about vegetables that week? Eek. Whereas what you can do is take those four subjects, and in reality, you could do a podcast about food, in my example, and do the same thing that I do. If you just use transition music and let people know that, hey, if you don't care about protein, just fast forward. I'm going to be talking about vegetables in a second. And then if you get somebody that says, hey, I really hate the stuff about protein, about fruits, about whatever, I just want a vegetable podcast, then maybe think about it. But if you started out by that, then you can kind of have it all there in one spot. And again, in theory, if you're interested in those four topics, then chances are your audience is going to be two. Now, if you wanted to have separate podcasts for each one of those, it's very easy. Just simply set up a different category in WordPress. And here we're going to talk with some geek speak. And if you need help with this, like, you can always hire me as a consultant. But you just simply set up a category. And so your RSS feed for that would be your website, you know, whatever.com/the name. I think, yeah, is it category? I think it's category /the name of the category /feed. That's your RSS feed. Throw that into FeedBurner. Throw some album art on it, and it's way to go. So you can simply make a new RSS feed by having, when you create a category, each category will have its own RSS feed. It makes it super easy. So it's not hard. It's just a little more setup time. So Dan, thank you very much. And all these questions, by the way, I've answered all these via email. So thank you very much, Dan. And good luck. If you need help with that podcast, feel free to sign up to the School of Podcasting or go over there and hire me as a consultant. Next up, this comes from Jeff Roney. Now, I actually did a blog post, speaking of blog posts, over at my blog at davidjackson.org. Jeff Roney is doing a podcast. I call this about, you know, Mom always says never to play in traffic. And basically, Jeff is playing in traffic. He says, I just put out a blog post. He's doing a podcast called about the television show Once Upon a Time. And he actually ended up in the new and noteworthy section in iTunes. And the reason I point this out is Jeff is not on a network. He's not, you know, there's nothing for lack of Jeff. You know what I'm saying here. When I say there's nothing special about Jeff, he's just a dude like you and me and her, right? So, and he got in new and noteworthy. So it's an interesting concept. What I mean by playing in traffic is you find something that's already popular. So in this case, and I don't watch this TV show, I don't watch TV pretty much, period. But Once Upon a Time is a kind of from the same people that did Lost. Well, Lost was a huge, huge television show that he had a very loyal audience. So Jeff likes it, likes the TV show, started a podcast about it. So did Daniel Lewis of the Audacity to Podcast. I believe that's the same show. And so you play in traffic. I do one. I do a podcast about Jillian Michaels at JillianMichaelsPodcast.com. Why? Because I get thousands of downloads. Why? Because she's already popular. Something to think about if you're looking for a topic. And if you happen to like a topic that's already popular, do a podcast about it. So here's Jeff's question now that I've explained to you who he is. It says, my wife and podcast, the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, which you can find, by the way, at onceuponatimepodcast.com, is growing to something I've never thought possible. I've always wanted to take a podcast beyond the U.S. to fans in other countries, which is one of the great things, of course, about podcasting, is it is a global audience. Just as we are seeing a bit of that now, but I wanted to make a list of all the ways that people from other countries to leave ways, how can they contact us via audio feedback? He says the cost to call a normal voicemail may be prohibitive to some in other countries, so the only way I could think of would be recorded and emailed from a smartphone, so they could, you know, any however they want to record it. So, you know, send in an MP3 file. Use websites like, it's V-O-C-A-R-O-O, yeah, easy for V-A-C-A-R-O-O, or V-A-C-A-R-O.com. V-A-C-A-R-O-O.com. The listener would have to have a mic and headphones. Never heard of that website. I'll have to check it out. It says, I realize that Skype to Skype is free, but I want to give as many options to people who enjoy the TV show once upon a time to send their thoughts to us from all around the world. Well, the other one is to have, and this is an affiliate link of mine, if you go to podcastvoicemail.com, if those people have a Skype out number, they can, and I'm getting this from Leah Laporte. If you have a toll-free number, and it's only $2 a month, plus 6 cents a minute for every, like if somebody does a minute long voicemail to me, it cost me 6 cents. So I've spent $2.06 for that month. So if they have Skype, which many people do in other countries because they want to connect to other countries because they live in some little island in the middle of the ocean or whatever, they want to connect with the outside world. So they have Skype. And so if you have a toll-free number, they can connect with that. So that would be the only ways I know of, you know, in terms of actually getting a voicemail. Obviously, there's always comments is good and email. But if you're looking for audio, that would be the one that I can think of that you haven't mentioned. So that would be that. So, Jeff, thank you so much for the question. Again, you can check out his podcast, Once New and Notable. Don't know if it still is, again, at Once Upon a Time Podcast. Next up, from Robert Chaz Chute. You can find him at allthatchaz.com. Great podcast. He does self-help for stoners. And before you go thinking he's a stoner, he goes, look, he's an author. And here's one of the great things about podcasting. I keep talking about Robert, and he's like, hey, thanks for the shout-out. So, Robert, you don't have to say thanks for the shout-out. I know you appreciate it. I deeply but one of the great things about podcasting is you do meet great people. And, you know, I'm helping Robert with his podcast, and he's helping me get my book into Amazon, along with, there are all sorts of other people. Peggy Decay is another author helper that I've helped her with things, and I've helped her with a podcast. So there are plenty of ways. It's another way that you can benefit from podcasting is you may meet people who have skills that you wish you had. And if you're a podcaster, they may want to know how to podcast. And if you don't tell them, go to the school of podcasting.com. I won't hate you because you might be able to just help them right there and you could swap information. So Robert says, hey, focusing on a moment of audio only podcast, what are people doing? I'm sorry, this isn't, that's not Robert's question. Robert's question was, how much advertising is too much advertising in a podcast? To which I answered, my official answer is, I don't know. I don't know that, to me, it's a matter of, well, I'll tell you what I told him, which is I know how much will make me tune out. And I've mentioned this stat before, but they said it again on the radio. And I was like, really? And that was, the Drive Home guy, Afternoon Drive Time Radio in Cleveland, number one station. It's an AM radio station. Guy talks about local Cleveland stuff. He's this big, rather large Italian guy named Mike Trevisano. And I like Mike Trevisano, but over the years, they have added more and more and more advertising. And if they're not advertising, and this is the one I never get with radio, they will run a commercial about the show you're listening to on the show you're listening to. So I'll be listening to the Mike Trevisano show, and they'll spend a minute or 2 minutes singing about Mike Trevisano. And I'm like, yeah, that's who I'm listening to. Can we actually listen to Mike now? No, they're going to play the jingle. Mike Trevisano. Seriously, how about, can Mike talk now? No, we're going to play the jingle again. Mike Trevisano. Seriously, drives me nuts. So, getting the point, the Mike Trevisano show admitted that in a half hour, they play 16 minutes of content. 16 minutes per 30. That means the other 14 minutes on the Drive Time number one rated show in Cleveland, Ohio, is 14 minutes of commercials. And that's not counting the jingle. Now, if I do the math on that, and I say 14 minutes of commercial divided by 30 minutes is 47%. So if you do a 12-minute podcast, you know, and you times that by 0.47, right? Is that how that works? That would be 5 minutes of commercials, which is scary to even think about. So that, you know, and the other thing is I've noticed, since we're talking about advertising here, I've noticed anybody that is doing, like the Smodcast Network, anybody that is running advertising, if you really want people to hear it, you got to throw it at the beginning. And that's where, if we go to YouTube, think about that. YouTube has 15 seconds. If you go to any kind of video site, it apparently Americans or viewers can stomach 15 seconds. I do notice that they have the ability in some cases to skip after 5. So somewhere between 5 and 15 seconds. You know, make it quick. And then if you want to mention it later, you could, but at least at the beginning, 15 seconds sounds like, and again, this is what I'm basing this on. Just, it's that kind of a thought. 15 seconds at the beginning, I think most people would tolerate. So thank you very much, Robert. Again, you can find him at allthatchaz.com. Very funny man. All right. This question comes from Reed Bellis, says, focusing for a moment on audio-only podcasts, what are people doing to market their services in a professional manner? How are professional podcasters gaining traction in today's market? Well, number one, some people do this, which is what I'm doing right now. You simply answer questions. You can, because you're either going to laugh. People, go do yourself a favor. The next time you're being entertained by some sort of media, be it TV, be it radio, be it a movie, be it a newspaper, book, magazine, and when you're done and you enjoyed that experience, ask yourself, why did I enjoy that experience? And when I've done this to myself, I have found that it either made me laugh, it made me cry, it made me think, it made me groan, or just entertained me, which in my book means it just made me kind of drift off into La La Land and, you know, or it educated me. So if your topics can do that, that's what people are doing to grow their audience. It's called good content. Great content is the number one key to growing your audience, because people will be like, oh, really? Did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that on a podcast. What podcast? Oh, it was on the noagendashow.com. Really? Wow. I'll have to check that out, because it develops word of mouth. So an example that I always use is the Whirlpool, the people that make washer and dryers. They did a podcast and it wasn't about washers and dryers, because that would be called a commercial. We just talked about how, you know, you shouldn't have more than whatever it was, 43% of your, that's like the absolute make people want to vomit level of advertising. So that would be bad. So what did they do? They made a podcast for their target audience. Their target audience were families. And what are their biggest hurdles? Well, getting your kids to brush their teeth longer, dealing with bedwetting, which would also, again, spur laundry, things of that nature. But issues around family, things of that nature. What is your audience hurting? What hurts your audience? Is there something that you can do to help with that pain? And if so, and here's the weird thing, give it to them for free. And you will be seen as a friend, a confidant, someone who is reliable because you put out your podcast on a consistent basis. And it's the law of reciprocity, meaning people will do good things for you because you've done good things for them, in a nutshell. So how are professional podcasters gaining traction in today's market? Well, I'm going to kind of, that would be it. Great content, building a community. And I, the one thing that I really did towards the end of last year was instead of just trying to find, like, I was looking for my target audience, but instead of trying to reach them all at once, I started focusing on meeting one person at a time. And yes, I know that is a slow way to build your audience. And this is via Twitter. I'd meet people and things like that. I would answer emails. I would, in some cases, call people on the phone. And I built my audience one person at a time. That's how I build the School of Podcasting, one person at a time. You know, when Scott Island showed up, I sent him an email. Hey, tell me what you're going to do with your podcast. And, you know, one person at a time. And the idea is because you make that connection, and they're not going to get that from TV. They're not going to get that from radio. They're not going to get that from a magazine. You build that person. You build that relationship with that person. So you are building a community around your topic, which then those people, if they like your topic, they're probably going to be like you, and they're going to know more people like themselves, which means they're going to be like you, because birds of a feather flock together, right? So it's slow, but the great thing is if they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on, it grows. It's just not going to happen overnight. So if you're looking for professional ways of promoting your podcast, I've talked about this example in the past. I'll go ahead and mention it now. I am getting ready to have some more business cards made that don't have nothing to do with contacting me. It simply has my logo available in iTunes, something, some sort of quick blurb. If you have some sort of catchphrase or something that explains what your podcast is about in like five words or less, put that on there, put your website, and that's it. It is a tool to point people to your website and to give them an idea of what the show is about, and you can hand this to people wherever you're at. I'll give you an example of, because really podcast promotion boils down to find out who your target audience is. So I'll give you an example of this. I do a podcast called the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. It's a no-nonsense approach to weight loss. And as you might imagine, this time of year, it takes off gangbusters. And I recently joined a gym at Planet Fitness. If you have one in your area, check them out. It's a great organization. And so I have tried to contact the global Planet Fitness, can't really get anybody on the phone to say, hey, how would you like to be either a sponsor or B, the official podcast? Because I would love to get my podcast in front of every one of those in their members' ears. Couldn't get anybody on the phone to really track that down. I guess I could go to 24 Hour Fitness or any of the other national chains. But instead, again, trying to build that relationship, I went to my gym and asked to speak with a manager, explained what I do, explained to them how they would benefit. Now, how do they benefit from my podcast? I said, well, number one, I would have their logo on it. And I would say at the beginning that, you know, I want to thank everyone at Planet Fitness in North Canton for letting me put my CDs on their counter and the views expressed by myself on this show are not necessarily those of Planet Fitness, but what it is it's tips and tricks on and inspirational stories to inspire you to lose weight. And so explain that to her, and she didn't say no. She hasn't said yes yet, but what it would be is just, it's a sample CD of all my podcasts. So it's kind of like almost like a best of, and it doesn't have to be 80 minutes long. It's going to be, here's what, it, you know, just to me, I'm making some clips and it's think kind of MTV where it's like, here's a quick clip, you know, whoosh, and here's another one, and whoosh, and here's a great thing, and here's maybe a little longer one that you have to think about, and women, and some transition music, and bam, bam, bam. And then at the end, at the beginning of this, it's here's my website, and at the end of it, here's my website, and thanks to everybody at Planet Fitness. Now, how does a gym benefit from that? And I was like, that's a good question. Why should they let me do this? I said, because here's the thing. If I can inspire people to exercise, right, to not drop their New Year's resolution, then they're going to lose weight. And if they lose weight, their friends are going to see them and go, wow, how did you lose weight? Oh, well, I've been eating right. I've been exercising. Really? What kind of exercise do you do? Oh, I have a gym membership at Planet Fitness. I said, and then their friends are going to want to come here because Planet Fitness helped them lose weight. I said, so that would be an example of that. I said, and it's something that maybe other gyms aren't offering. Maybe they're not offering inspirational CDs to keep you focused on your goals. And she went, bring me one. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is an example of find out who's my audience for that. It's people who are trying to get in shape. Well, hello, I went there on January 2nd. Oofa. I mean, it was packed. And that's when I was like, time to strike is now. So find out where your audience is and go there. Now, that may be, in some cases, giving them a business card that points them back to your website. It may be dropping off CDs. Check out this website, Kunaki, Kunaki. You can get professionally made CDs for a buck. They're nothing fancy schmancy, but they're a buck. And you don't have to go through the hassle of burning your CDs. I know this because my band, I'm a musician, and we used to make our own CDs, and it would take forever, and they looked eh. And I even have the CDs that you can actually print directly on the CD. We quit doing it because the time. You can always pay for things either in time or in money. And for us, a dollar a CD that comes shrink wrapped with a full color graphics on the CD and on the little board, which again could point people to your website. Very cool way to make demo CDs. So that would be just off the top of my head. But all podcast promotion, no matter what it is, boils down to find out where your target audience is. Go there and tell them about your podcast. And if you can't go there, leave a CD, leave a card so they can find it later. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. That's going to do it for the show. As I look down, I'm like, wow, I've been going 30 minutes. I guess I should shut up. And that's one of the keys. When we talked about how do I find topics for my show, in theory, I should have stopped about 10 minutes ago if I wanted to. And I could have saved some of those questions for next week. That is a discipline that takes a long time to get under your belt. And that is when you find great content, you just want to spew it. And you're like, great, wow, well, that show was an hour long. And then next week, oh yeah, as soon as you hit stop on the recorder, you got to find more content for next week, when you could have easily taken that 1 hour show, done a great 30 minutes, given a little teaser for next week, and then, you know, done that the next week. And now you've got now instead of having 7 days to find new content, you've got 14, which means that content that finally comes out new will be phenomenal because you've got twice as long to do it. So it's a discipline not to spew everything, and realize that there's no rule that says your podcast has to be X amount of minutes long unless you're doing something for radio. Sure, I always like mine to be somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes. But, you know, I'm at 32 here without any intro and outro music, and I'm done. So my rule for my podcast is it should be as long as the content that I talked about and not a minute more. So thank you so much for tuning in. This is where I do my little advertising. If you want to start a podcast, and of course, unfortunately me, I'm doing it. Well, I did have the testimony at the beginning, but I do mine at the end. So nobody's listening now, so who am I kidding? You've all tuned out. If you want to start a podcast, if you have questions like this and you want them answered now, live, in person, go out to the School of Podcasting. You can order me your personal podcast coach in 15-minute increments, and we can hammer this out and get you up and going. If you'd rather do it on your own, come out, sign up for the School of Podcasting. We have step-by-step tutorials that you can walk through every single part to get through. It's not in jargon. It's not in geek speak. And here's the thing. If you start using the School of Podcasting and you're like, oh, you know what? I changed my mind. If it's within the first 30 days, just send me an email. Dave, you know what? I changed my mind. We'll give you your money back. So there's no worry that, oh man, that's a lot of money. You know what? If you're not getting there, if you're not launching a podcast, first 30 days, let me know. We'll give it right back. No questions asked. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully that wasn't enough to make it 43% of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everything you need to start a podcast is out at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Check it out, schoolofpodcasting.com, or I would love to hear from you because I'm going to need content for next week. Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll free, 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, or leave a comment out at the website. Next week, we will be talking about what was your favorite podcast? What was the one that you went, oofa? I'm so glad there's a new episode that wasn't yours and wasn't this one. I want to know what that is because I've got some answers to that already. And that'll be kind of our last five and five. So talk to you next week. Until then, class is dismissed. I'll see you on the inside. Don't be tardy. God bless everybody.